Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Ndweza.
A high-tech greenhouse company has purchased land in Rowan County.
The Rowan County Arts Center is gearing up for First Friday.
The Kentucky Public Service Commission has approved new rates for LG&E and Kentucky Power.
The second televised Democratic gubernatorial debate took place last night.
Meanwhile, Republican candidates met up at the Lincoln Dinner in Lexington.
In sports, Moorhead State Baseball is facing off with the Herd in Huntington this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 60. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
A major stepping stone has been surpassed for a project expected to bring nearly 300 jobs to Rowan County. App Harvest purchased more than 366 acres on Kentucky 801 near Sharkey for $3.5 million last month. The company is expected to bring a mass production greenhouse to grow tomatoes to the area. The special warranty deed states that Maple Leaf Holdings and App Harvest Moorhead have agreed on a deal for the property located on 801 across from the National Guard Armory. App Harvest website claims the company plans to build some of America's largest greenhouses, combining conventional agricultural techniques with today's technology to grow non-GMO chemical-free produce. In 2017, the company planned a 140 jobs and $60 million investment in Pikeville's Industrial Park. After 2 years of delays and working around land that wasn't feasible for the project, the company began looking at dozens of other sites throughout the region before settling on Moorhead. The 60-acre greenhouse in Rowan County will produce tomatoes and is expected to cost around $85 million. The company hopes to begin production next year.
The Rowan County Arts Center is hosting the Moorhead First Friday Outdoor Market this week. While this event did kick off in April, the second one of the season is on May 3rd and will continue and will include activities for the entire family. Director Ashley Gillum says the Rowan County Arts Center is all about supporting locals, buying local, and being local.
We invite local arts and crafters, farmers, you know, anyone that's doing something locally, that are hand-making, home-producing their items, are invited to set up a booth space and sell their local goods.
The outdoor market will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on the first Friday each month through October.
The Greenup County Board of Education has appointed an interim superintendent to replace retiring superintendent Sherry Horsley. According to the Daily Independent, the board's goal is to appoint a permanent superintendent by July 15th, with work starting the very next day. District Instructional Supervisor Teresa Morese was appointed by the board on Monday. Morese has been an administrator with the district for 5 years and formerly taught in the Fairview and Ashland districts. She'll take on her interim duties immediately while continuing with her current job. Horsley, who's retiring due to health issues, will remain on medical leave until her contract expires June 30th.
A foundation has awarded $48,000 to 26 Kentucky students, including three surviving children of law enforcement officers who died in the line of duty. The Kentucky Justice and Public Safety Cabinet says the Gerald F. Healy Kentucky Law Enforcement Memorial Foundation Scholarship Endowment awarded three $5,000 scholarships to their surviving children. They are the children of Kentucky State Police Trooper Johnny Edrington, who died in 1988, Kentucky Vehicle Enforcement Officer Jason Kamick, who died in 2000, and Jessamine County Sheriff's Deputy Billy Walls, who died in 2001. The other scholarships, $1,500 each, go to a Kentucky dispatcher and 22 dependents of Kentucky officers and dispatchers. The foundation was established in 1999 to build a memorial to honor officers killed in the line of duty. The scholarship program was created in 2004.
Researchers at the University of Kentucky are hoping to use unmanned drones to study and better predict weather about 15 miles above the Earth's surface. A balloon is used to carry the drone to cut down a lot of operational cost while also allowing it to enhance sampling on the ground stations that they are unable to get before. Through the sampling, researchers at UK say this data can then be used to help weather forecasting by improving models. Travis Schuler is a PhD candidate at UK. He tells WKYT most commercial airplanes fly at around 30,000 to 50,000 feet, while Schuler's drone can make its way up to 80,000 feet above the ground. But that comes with its own challenges.
You have to build a device that can go up to negative 70 degrees Celsius, for example, which is quite cold. Things that can go up to, really low pressures and still operate as you would expect.
While the research comes with some challenges, Schuler hopes this type of data collection with drones will someday become more common in the United States.
The Kentucky Public Service Commission has set new base rates for the two largest electric providers in Kentucky. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
New base rates were announced on Tuesday. The PSC says the rates are lower than what LG&E and Kentucky Utilities requested. With the new rates, the base rate portion of a typical LG&E residential electric bill will increase about 27 cents per month. For a typical Kentucky Utilities residential customer, it will go up by $4.27. A typical LG&E residential natural gas customer will see a $3.70 increase to the base rate portion of the monthly bill. Both LG&E and KU are subsidiaries of PPL Corporation. The last base rate increase for both companies took effect in June 2017. The two utilities have a total of about 964,000 electric customers in 86 Kentucky counties. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
A new study shows that children in Kentucky are some of the most vulnerable in the country. WKYT reports statistics from the Map the Meal Gap 2019 shows Kentucky's food insecurity rate at 14.9%. That's higher than the national average rate of 12.5%. Feeding Kentucky Executive Director Tamara Sandberg said, although there have been improvements, more still needs to be done.
Even though we're pleased that the problem is showing a little bit of improvements, it's still unacceptable that Kentucky's rate of people who don't always have enough food to eat is higher than the national average. It's unacceptable that over 600,000 Kentuckians don't always know where their next meal is going to come from.
Kentucky counties with the highest food insecurity are disproportionately rural. Insecurity rates are the highest in Magoffin County at 22.5%, followed by Bell, Breathitt, Clay, Elliott, Fulton, Harlan, Knox, Leslie, McCreary, Owsley, and Wolf County, where food insecurity rates were above 20%.
First responders in Charleston, West Virginia, received training Monday on how to handle a situation involving someone on the autism spectrum. Over 100 first responders attended the training hosted by the West Virginia Autism Training Center at Marshall University. Dr. Mark Ellison, a facilitator of the training, told WSAZ that someone with autism might respond differently to officers than a person who is not.
When an emergency happens, we stand back or we let the flash people in the flashing lights do what they need to do. But I think folks with autism can't easily predict those things. They may have some social challenges that make understanding and carrying those things out difficult.
Training provided responders with knowledge on how to recognize someone with autism, how to communicate, and sensory issues.
We'll have a look at more of your regional's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour, or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Kentucky's Democratic gubernatorial primary candidates had their second televised debate last night. Andy Beshear, Adam Edelin, and Rocky Adkins appeared on WDRB discussing their takes on abortion, expanded gaming, and education, among other topics. The three were also asked about how they would address the state's pension crisis. Adkins says he would utilize some older policies.
Basically, by staying with the 2013 reforms, making sure we keep a defined benefit for teachers across Kentucky to make sure we keep growing out of this problem we're in. We're on the right track. We need to find the funding moving forward, and I have a place to find that to make sure it happens.
Here's Beshear and Edelin.
We've got to start with expanded gaming, which we can pass because for the first time, we're going to dedicate 100% of the revenue to our pension systems. Folks, that is $550 million a year we can put in every single year to help fund it.
It's not enough to just fund it, folks, because if we do that, there's a real chance we could find ourselves back in the mess that we have been in. We've got to reform it, and as governor, I'll do both.
To hear the full debate, visit WDRB.com. Kentucky's primary election is May 21st.
Republican primary candidates met up for a dinner in Lexington yesterday. WYMT reports the Lincoln Day dinner was a way to raise money for the Republican Party and served as an opportunity for the candidates to get their message across to the community. Candidate William Woods says it's important to be open with the community.
I think a lot of folks expect to hear from candidates. If you ask for someone's vote, it's important for them to see you. They can ask you questions, and they want to hear what your ideas are.
Candidate Ike Lawrence says he's been engaging the community by traveling around and talking to supporters. The Kentucky primary election takes place on May 21st.
The attorney for former Bath County attorney Donald Champ Mays has filed a request for shock probation for his client. The Mount Sterling Advocate reports the motion was filed in Montgomery County Circuit on behalf of Mays, who was incarcerated in October. Mays' attorney, Michael Curtis, hearing on the matter before a special judge, David Hagerman of Ashland. No hearing date has been set. Mays was sentenced to a year in jail and 5 years probation back in October. He entered an Alford plea in Montgomery and Bath counties on drug charges. That plea does not admit guilt in a case, but does acknowledge that there is enough evidence for a conviction.
The Scott County School District has announced it has managed to recover the $3.7 million it had lost last week due to fraud. The Herald Leader reports Scott County Superintendent Kevin Hubb made the announcement that the entirety of the sum was recovered. Hubb says he has also spoken with the FBI, and he is not aware of any action taken against a perpetrator at this time. However, they do know the perp is located within the United States. The FBI will be continuing to investigate the case.
Two of three suspects accused of kidnapping a teenager and locking her in a U-Haul truck appeared in court Tuesday in Knox County. 29-year-old Tiffany Cheek is accused of luring a 16-year-old while pretending to be her guardian. 34-year-old Michael Nissan is accused of raping the girl while she was locked in a truck. The truck and the girl were found in Cincinnati. Sheriff Mike Smith with the Knox County Sheriff's Department tells WKYT the girl has been very affected by what happened.
Don't know really how well, you know, she was treated with them, but, you know, she's had a lot of emotional trauma out of this.
Authorities are still investigating that case. The 16-year-old girl is back safely with her family.
A military police sergeant stationed at Fort Knox is accused of killing a teenager in Indianapolis. Kentucky News Network's Haley Hansen has the story.
26-year-old German Parra, an active-duty U.S. Army military police sergeant, was arrested in Elizabethtown on murder and criminal recklessness charges. He and 16-year-old Isaiah Funes opened fire on a car full of teenagers earlier this month, killing 16-year-old Xavier Weir. His mother, Michelle Rains, tells WLKY,
"My son is never coming back. He's never going to be back. I won't be able to go to a prom. I'll never have grandchildren with my baby."
Parr is being held in the Hardin County Detention Center. I'm Haley Hansen.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 64. Thursday, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a high near 81. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 61. Friday, showers likely with a high near 76. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Saturday, an 80% chance of showers with a high near 71. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Lexington and Mount Sterling, it's 84 degrees. In Inez and Grayson, it's 85. In Ashland, it's 86. In Maysville, it's 83. In Flemingsburg, it's 82. And here in Moorhead, it's 84 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Moorhead State University hosts a Writer's Day Out event for area teens each semester. Today, we'll hear from Sarah Bettis, Holly Newton, and Megan Bundy.
Hi, my name's Sarah Bettis, and I'm from Fleming County. I'm a senior, and my piece is called Chocolate. Candy, candy everywhere. I look, oh, candy. The smell is so good. The chocolate smells great. The chocolate's melting your mouth. They taste so great. Hershey, M&M's, and Trix, and so much more. Oh, how sweet that chocolate is. Oh, how I want some chocolate.
My name is Holly Newton. I am a sophomore at Round County Senior High School, and this is my piece entitled Missing Woman. Savannah Spurlock, a mother of four in Richmond, Kentucky, was declared missing on January 8, 2019. Since that day, over 14 other women have been declared missing in eastern Kentucky. As a local girl in a small town in this region, I am concerned about my safety and the safety of others. The weekend of my high school swim regionals, I stayed on the campus of EKU, where another girl was taken off of campus the previous weekend. The topic that I have chosen to talk about is valid because not only am I concerned for the safety of myself, but also for my family and my friends. In 2017, less than 1% of women in the United States were declared missing. My research for statistical data for the number of missing women in Kentucky resulted in a startling lack of helpful information. However, regardless of the numbers, each woman's life is valuable. The negligent concern for missing women in Kentucky is shown in numerous ways. Kentucky State Police's website for missing persons is neglected. Upon glancing at the page, you would think nothing is out of the ordinary. There are three cases shown with the exact same picture. The cases are the same Jane Doe case from 1991. The lack of research and statistics of missing women and others across the country is very concerning. When will they get the attention they deserve? When will they be given back their voices? It is time we shed some light on this travesty and act.
My name is Megan Bundy. I'm from Bath County High School, and I am in the 12th grade. I am reading chapter 1. Here, the end of chapter 1. It was a long chapter. Sometimes it was dark, and sometimes it was bright. Unfortunately, a lot of the times, I stayed in the dark. But today was a bright day. Here I am, graduating, 12 years of education for this very moment. I didn't think I'd even get this far. The bleachers on both sides of the stage were filled to the brim with the parents of my peers, cheering them on. But I couldn't help the anxiety that crept in. I had plans for when I graduate, but did I want them? I'm not a kid anymore. We are adults now. Will I be successful, or will I be doomed to failure? Seconds away from closing our chapter, with our traditional cap toss. Breathe in and out. In, out. In and out. 3, 2, 1. Up went the caps and out went the fear. I'm going to be okay. It will be okay. Like I always have been through every tribulation and trial. I'll be okay. Goodbye, chapter 1. Let's begin chapter 2.
That's three teens from the Writer's Day Out here at Moorhead State University. It's 449 and 84 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Naya and Dweza. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio right here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this windy Wednesday afternoon. Jack Cottle has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead, located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park. The Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
The Eagles face off with the Herd this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jack Cottle. Play is currently underway for the Moorhead State University baseball team. The Eagles are in Huntington for their second matchup with Marshall this season. Round one went to the Eagles, so now it's time for round two against the Thundering Herd. The Eagles took the previous meeting 5-4 and are currently in their 142nd meeting between the two schools. MSU sits at 28-17 overall after falling twice and winning one at Jacksonville State this past weekend. Marshall is 23-20 overall following a 1-2 weekend at UAB. The Rowan County softball team is back in action tonight. The 16-9 Vikings are facing off with the 6-11 Lady Musketeers of Greenup County. Rowan head coach Larry Sloan says his team knows what to expect going into tonight's matchup.
We beat them 6-1 at their place. You know, they're a good team. They have the ability to beat you, and it's just a matter of how well you play. If you get some decent pitching and play pretty good, you're okay. And if you play poorly, you can get beat.
First pitch is tonight at Sloan Stadium is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at some other regional softball tonight, Fleming welcomes Bourbon County at 6 p.m. The Panthers are 6-11 on the season, while the Lady Colonels are at 15-4 in 16th region baseball action. Raceland hosts Montgomery County at 5:30. The Rams are 19-5 on the season, while the Indians stand at 17-13. West Carter travels to Fleming County at 6. The Comets are 15-10 on the season, while the Panthers stand at 4-14. We'll have scores from those games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Moorhead State University softball team has wrapped up play at home for the season. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
In its final home games of the 2019 season, the Moorhead State softball team dropped both games of a doubleheader to Marshall Tuesday afternoon at University Field. The Eagles dropped an 11-1 contest in Game 1 before falling 11-3 in Game 2. The Thundering Herd jumped on MSU early as they scored 4 runs in their first trip to the plate during both games. The losses bring MSU to 2-39 on the season. The Eagles wrap up regular season play on Saturday when they hit the road to take on Southeast Missouri for a doubleheader. Game 1 is set for 2 o'clock. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts.
The Cincinnati Reds are back in action tonight for Game 3 in their series against the Mets. Cincy picked up the Game 1 win 5-4 before dropping last night's game in extra innings 4-3. The Reds have continued to see good performances from their bullpen, but bench boss David Bell tells Fox Sports Ohio his guys won't have any days off until the 13th of this month. And it's going to take a lot of effort from his guys.
Yeah, I mean, we got to keep these guys healthy, and you know, we've asked a lot of them, and they've done a great job. So right now everybody's in good shape, but definitely something we have to monitor.
First pitch at Citi Field is set for 7:10 this evening. Now that the team has had some time to reflect on the draft, Bengals cornerback Andy Dalton is sharing his thoughts on some new recruits. Dalton says he isn't surprised the team moved up in the fourth round to take a quarterback, and he doesn't feel threatened by the decision. Cincinnati traded and moved up to take NC State's Ryan Finley, a quarterback whose skills more closely resemble Dalton's. In the fourth round, Dalton tells Bengals.com he's actually excited at the prospect.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to, just create some competition in the backup room. So, you know, I've obviously we need numbers. You can't go in with two, so we've got to get to four. And I think we did that because I think we signed an undrafted free agent as well. So yeah, I'm anxious to see what he's like and get to meet him.
The Bengals hadn't taken a quarterback so high in the draft since 2011, when they got Dalton in the second round. And finally, in sports this afternoon, it could be a wet Kentucky Derby. Saturday's forecast is calling for a good chance of rain in Louisville. How will that affect the race favorite? Will Clark reports from Churchill Downs.
Richard Mandela doesn't seem too concerned about a possibly sloppy Churchill Downs track. He's the trainer of morning line favorite Omaha Beach.
He's had two races in the slop, so I'm not going to worry. And he's won a race in the fast track, so a stake race. So whatever it is, I'm not going to worry about weather.
Last year's Kentucky Derby was the wettest ever, more than 3 inches of rain falling on Churchill Downs. But that didn't seem to bother Justify, who raced to a 2.5 length victory on the way to a triple crown. At Churchill Downs, I'm Will Clark.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Jack Cottle.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for a 3-game series this weekend. Game times are at 5 p.m. on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell after the top-ranking Federal Reserve official hinted that lower rates may not be in the cards. And the Dow Industrials did have a very sharp drop the last hour, finishing with a loss of 162.77 at 26,430.14. The S&P 500 was down 22.1 at 2923.73, and the S&P 500 was down 45.75 at 8049.64. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said at a news conference that recently low inflationary pressures may only be, quote, transitory. In this dash speculation, the central bank was at least entertaining the idea of a rate cut because of tame inflation. Powell's comments came after the Federal Reserve itself decided not to raise interest rates, or I should say not to move interest rates at all, and to leave the Fed funds rate in its range of 2.25% to 2.5%, where it has been since late last year. Stocks rose broadly earlier in the day following positive news on trade. It was reported that a U.S.-China trade deal could be announced by next Friday. Also, strong earnings from companies like Apple and also the strong jobs data that was released earlier boosted market sentiment. Apple shares were up about 5% after its earnings and revenue for the previous quarter beat expectations. Mondelez also rose 1.6% after posting better-than-expected results. On the data front, ADP and Moody's said private payrolls increased by 275,000 in April, easily blowing past the Dow Jones estimate of 177,000. And, of course, the big government non-farm payrolls report will come out this Friday. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5% at $63.58 a barrel. Gold was down 0.625% at $1,277.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were pretty quiet, with the Stock 600 index down less than 0.1%. In Asia, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.2% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.5%. Among Dow Industrials, the best performers were Apple and Johnson & Johnson, while the worst performers were Home Depot and Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Royal Caribbean and Harris Corporation, while the worst performers were Molson Coors Brewing and Clorox. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Lowe's down 242 at 110.72, Community Trust Bank down 45 cents at 41.80, CSX down 50 cents at 79.13, Humana down 921 at 246.20, Valvoline down 68 cents at 17.82, and Marathon Petroleum was down 89 cents to finish at 59.98. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And just a quick update on that MSU baseball game going on right now. Morehead's up 3-1 in the bottom of the sixth. And that's all the time we've got for Mountain Edition today. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Keneally Roberts, Grant Johnson, Tandy Wallingford, Nacogdoches Miller, Cody Robinson, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment today came from the Writers' Day Out event at Morehead State. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya Endweza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. It's 5 o'clock.